Welcome to the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast. I'm your host, Nadine Mullings. I'm an author, speaker, and marketing mentor, and I believe in the importance of women of faith in business stepping up and shining in their lane so they can make the impact, influence, and income they were born to make. Join me to hear the stories of powerful women of faith who are using their purpose-driven businesses to make a difference in the world. All right. Hello, everyone. Super excited to have my guest on today with the Women Faith and Business Podcast. Beverly Walthall is an award-winning six-figure business strategist, speaker, author, trainer, and consultant, and also the CEO of BCW Business Ventures. As a business strategist for Christian female coaches, she uses her five framework to help them create a financially successful business without compromising their Christian values. She conducts training sessions all across the U.S. and enjoys helping women create time and financial freedom in their businesses. So super excited to have you, Beverly. Anything you want to add to that intro that the audience needs to know about you?
Wow, listening to that, I'm like, who is that person?
Oh, she's talking about
me.
You.
Oh, okay, that's me. Okay, yeah. And one thing I want to make sure that we really highlight is that part about, you know, being able to create, you know, it's pretty much more income and more impact without compromising the Christian values.
Yes.
I have done some things and seen some things in this online space.
Yeah.
So for me, that's very important that, you know, your listeners know that when it comes to how I support my clients. So yeah,
that is awesome. And, you know, part of what we do on this podcast is really talking about faith and business and specifically mm-hmm. how we combine faith and mm-hmm. business. Mm-hmm. And I feel that this whole journey of being an entrepreneur and business owner is really a faith journey. So it's kind of shocking to me that it was kind of taboo or can be taboo to talk mm-hmm. about faith and business when I feel this whole journey is a faith journey. So I always like to start off by kind of understanding your backstory and what made you actually take the leap of faith to start your own business.
And so it's funny because this journey, my entrepreneurial journey, started 13 years ago. And back then I was a middle school math teacher, you know, just doing my thing. I knew when I went into education that I was not going to retire from the classroom. I just didn't know what I was going to do. And so a friend of mine who was also a fellow coworker, she had started her business, which was an in-home tutoring company. Mm. And she was like, Bev, you know, I've already replaced my teaching salary. I'm like, well, don't take too much to replace this thing, but, you know, tell me more, tell me more. And so that was literally all the preparation I had was having that one conversation with her. And before I knew it, I actually took the leap, that first leap into entrepreneurship. That was all the preparation I had. So I quit my job, you know, as a teacher at the end of the year. You know, I did not renew my contract. And so I went full-time into entrepreneurship, and I was full-time for 2 years.
Okay.
But if you notice me saying twice, you know, I did not prepare adequately for that leap of faith. And,
right.
You know, because of God, you know, he did sustain me during
yes.
those 2 years. But I don't advise anyone to do that unless God specifically said, do it. And I didn't hear that from him, but I knew what Bev wanted to do.
Right.
And so that was my first venture into entrepreneurship. And now fast forward 13 years later, and being a business strategist is now business number four. Mm-hmm. And that actually birthed out of the other businesses that I had. And me being able to successfully, because even with the first business, I had clients like that wasn't it.
Right.
But it was fear. And so I allowed fear to kind of push me back into what I was familiar with, which was being in the classroom.
Mm.
And so as I noted, you know, 13 years now, you know, four businesses later, this is where I am. And even this whole business strategist thing came about because people were always asking me, like, Bev, how did you do it? How did you do it? And I'm like, well, doesn't everybody know? You know, I thought this was something everyone knew how to do. Like, hey, if you want to start a business, you know, you do steps 1, 2, 3, 4. I thought everyone knew how to do that.
Yeah.
But that's not true. And then part two, you know, even if I can Google how to get the business started, you know, being able to make money from the business was a whole nother piece to it as well. that I was able to bring to the table for my clients.
Yeah, I love that story. I love the fact that it, you know, sometimes starting a business can just start with a conversation. You know, someone tells you something and it's like, hey, I'm going to take a leap of faith and mm-hmm. go along this path and this journey. But like you mentioned, God always sustains us. Mm-hmm. Even if we mm-hmm. take a leap and he wasn't ready for us to do it and we're doing it in our own timing and not his mm-hmm. timing, he will cover us. And, you know, that to me is, you know, how awesome God is no matter what.
Yes.
And the fact that, you know, we evolve, you know, like you said, mm-hmm. you said this is your fourth business. When mm-hmm. when we start a business, it's not just a matter of like, okay, we started and then we're going to continue this business for 20 years. It exactly. actually evolves and changes, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. actually leads me to my next question about major shifts and pivots. You know, mm-hmm. in the time that you started that first business and to where you are right now as a business strategist, what mm-hmm. would you say have been some of those major shifts and pivots you've had to do in your business?
And it's been a couple of them, but they all start with my mindset. And I know as entrepreneurs, we hear that word all the time, but mindset is huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to, just like you notice, like, it's a faith walk. Mm-hmm. And you have to have the mindset that, first of all, you know, knowing that this is something that God has called you to do. And then knowing that it's not going to be a straight journey. And that's the part that I feel like a lot of us, especially, you know, as believers, mm-hmm. we're just like, well, hey, God told me to be an entrepreneur today, you know, on Monday. And on Tuesday, you know, I have $1 million business. And that's not
how it goes.
And so, you know, if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in, you know, when we hit either a dead wall or we hit, you know, we get to a space and it didn't work out the way that we thought. Well, we automatically shift into, okay, well, maybe this isn't what God told me to do. You know, we automatically try to shut it down versus mm-hmm. saying, okay, wait a minute. And I always talk to my people, you know, about the children of Israel leaving out of Egypt.
I love
and
that.
And it says in scripture, like, God didn't take them the straight route out of, you know, Egypt into the promised land. Like, he said in scripture, you know, I took you this way because if I were to take you through that straight path, you would have run across opposition and you would have wanted to turn around and go back. And so even with this journey, like, there are going to be curves and this and that and all this stuff. And every day you're like, God, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Okay, God, you know, that type of thing. But when you hold steadfast to what he told you, what he showed you for you and your business, not what you see on social media, not what someone else said that you should be doing, but what God told you to do with your business.
Yeah.
Like, when you remain steadfast on that, it makes a huge difference. So that mindset is going to be key, holding on steadfastly to what God told you to do. Making sure you have scriptures that you stand on because again, you know, it's a lot of craziness here. So that mindset was probably one of the biggest pivots for me from that first business to this one.
Okay.
Another huge difference was, you know, 13 years ago, social media wasn't as huge as it is now. And so being able to effectively leverage social media has been another pivot for me because now, you know, where I had a business before that was local, like, you know, I could only serve the students that were in my area. Mm. Now, you know, the internet allows you to literally have clients across the globe.
Right.
So knowing how to effectively leverage social media was something that I had to learn, you know, how to do. So I think those were two of the biggest pivots was my mindset and then leveraging social media effectively to be able to grow my business.
Yeah, I think that's key. And I think that, you know, a lot of times, especially if you're coming from corporate, if you worked in, mm-hmm. whether it's education or mm-hmm. corporation, you definitely have a different employee mindset. Mm-hmm. And the employee mindset is very different than the entrepreneurial mindset. You know, knowing, number one, that you're not going to get a paycheck every 2 weeks. A lot of people struggle mm-hmm. with that. Mm-hmm. That's the first mindset shift you have to make. It's like, that money is not going to be in your account every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You have to hustle to make it happen. You know, but also leaning on God and you know, not mm-hmm. hustle. I don't like to use the word hustle, but it's more of like leaning on him more so than ever. And that's why I think mm-hmm. it's important to understand this is a faith journey. You know, there's mm-hmm. no way or around it because we have to lean on him so much because it's not the usual employee route. And I love your analogy of the Israelites. I say that mm-hmm. all the time and I hear that so much, how this entrepreneurial and business ownership journey is really like the Israelites leaving Egypt, you know, and mm-hmm. Egypt mm-hmm. is employment. Egypt Entrepreneurship is employment, even though it's slavery and it wasn't, you know, great employment for the Israelites. But we all have a wilderness season, you know, that time where we have to be in the wilderness, work on our mindset, work on our skill set, work on the things that God requires us to work on before we can reach the promised land, before we can get to that six-figure business, before we can get the people that he's called us to work with. So that whole journey from Egypt to the promised land is a great example of the entrepreneurial journey. I love it. And yeah, I think the climate has really changed in social media. So I love how you mentioned that now we can jump on social media and have platforms and reach people around the world where, you know, 20 years ago, it didn't exist. It did not exist. We were kind of focused on just a local market. So that's so true. So I know faith plays a key role in your life and in your business personally, but what I notice about your work is you talk a lot about it publicly. You don't shy away from the fact of saying, you know, you work with Christian women coaches, and you also don't shy away from the fact of talking about money, you know, when a lot of times that can be taboo in the in the faith world, you know. So talk a little bit about how you made the decision to publicly talk about, you know, faith in business and use the words God and Christ, you know, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. It's not about saying universe and, you know, a lot of times, and I always get on my, stage about saying universe or whatever you believe in, you know, it's like, no, it's none of that. And I know, you know, when you make statements and you post things on social media, you stand firm in being a believer in Jesus Christ and using the name and talking about God. So tell us a little bit about, you know, if you even went through a process or what made you decide to be bold about your faith in business and on your business platform.
So for me, you know, I couldn't continue to separate the two. Because at one point when I was in the online, when I first came into the online space, I was separating the two. You know, there wasn't anything in my copy that mentioned Christians or God or Jesus, Holy Spirit, scripture, none of that. And it had gotten to a point where I was a part of an anthology. And so my chapter in the book was about faith. And so a coach that I was working with, it was, you know, we were talking about Facebook groups, so we weren't talking about my content, so to speak. And so she asked me, she said, you know, Bev, do you target Christian women? And I was like, not specifically. She said, well, think about the clients that you have. Have they all been Christian? And I'm like, yeah. So she said, I mean, you have this book, you know, definitely that may be something to consider. So I had to think about it. I'm like, because, and the reason why I had to think about it was because I'm like, God, you know your people. God, you know your people. They be acting funny. I had to go back and forth with God about that because of something you said. And that was talking about money. Because I feel like in the church, that is one, just like you said, that is very taboo to talk about. And so even still, like this, either this morning or yesterday morning, I was on one of my daily walks. And so I was like, you know, God, I don't know too many people, you know, that were in the Bible, especially that they talked about who were poor. I remember the poor widow woman, you know, those two instances. But I'm like, but how many of them were actually poor the way that we have it depicted? Because if you ask Christians, you know, everybody in the Bible was poor. Jesus was poor. Because they remember they say he came down and he became poor. I said, yeah, poor compared to being in heaven.
Of course.
He's going to be poor compared to that. But yeah, but I'm like, even when you go back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them, you know, they were rich. And, you know, that was part of how God blessed them. You know, even the women that followed Jesus, they said they used their own money to help support. So I'm like, where are we getting this thing that we need to be poor? I'm like, it told me in scripture that Jesus has given us the power, or God has given us the power to get wealth. So where are we getting this thing from? And so that was one of the main reasons why I didn't want to step into that realm of talking about Christians and money, because I'm like, I don't want to, God, I don't want to listen to these. I don't want to listen to these people. I don't want to talk
like
to people.
Like Jonah, like he's trying to fight
Exactly. I'm going this way, God. But yeah, but you know, God, like, okay, you done, Jonah, are you done? You finished? Okay. So yeah, so once I got done pouting and stuff like that, I said, telling him what I wasn't going to do. They're like, okay, God, what's next type of thing. So that was kind of how we flowed into that. And like I said, because even that up until that point, it was just so hard for me to separate the two. And so now that it's fully integrated in what I talk about, I don't have to worry about filtering myself. And even when I say I don't have to worry about offending people, because mm-hmm. even in the body of Christ, there are different denominations. Yes. So, you know, there are things that I believe as a Christian that the Christian next to me may not believe. So I still offend people, but that's not my focus. I'm like, I'm talking to those people that God has called me to serve. They know who I'm talking to. And those are my audience. Everyone else, you know, I'm just not the coach for you, and that's fine. So that's kind of my attitude now.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if we think about it, at the end of our life, who are we going to answer to? You know, when you say that, I gave you an assignment, I gave you a mission. You know, I always tell people my desire is to hear well done. You know, well done with the assignment, that not, oh, well, I was worried about what Jane was going to think. And mm-hmm. I was worried about what Joe was
saying. Exactly.
You don't want to hear that at the end of your life. You know, you want to know that you ran your race and you ran it well. So everyone kind of comes to be a believer in different ways, and their journey, their faith journey is slightly different. I'd love to hear your backstory about how you actually became a believer of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. and what your faith journey looks like.
So for me, you know, I have the traditional grew up in the church type of thing. You know, mama had me in church. So we were in a holiness church. So, you know, we were in church all day Sunday. You know, you had Sunday school, you had this, you had that. So, you know, you go to church at 8 o'clock in the morning and you didn't get back home till 3, 4 o'clock. That was us. You know, we had service in the middle of the week. So that kind of thing, where I grew up in the church.
Right.
So to speak. But the thing was, I did not have a relationship with Christ for myself. Mm-hmm. And so once we got older, our mom gave us the option of if we wanted to go. So we're teenagers in a church with a bunch of old people. There wasn't any people our age. So we're like, no, we're not going.
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, we stopped going to church in high school. And so I went off to college. You know, I visited a couple of churches or whatever, but it wasn't a huge thing. And then once I graduated from college, I moved to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And so from there, a friend of mine mentioned her church. So I visited it a couple of times. I'm like, okay, cool. And then kind of drifted away from it. And then in my late 20s, that's when I really got serious about, hey, Deb, you know, if you want something different, if you want your life to be, you know, something different, then you have to do something different. So for me, it wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I actually developed a relationship. Mm-hmm. Versus just, you know, hey, I'm a Christian, you know, because you have to check off a box. And what's the box? I'm going to check off Christian because I'm not a Muslim. I'm not this. I'm not that.
Right.
But it was now about developing a relationship.
Right.
And so that was kind of like my journey, you know, to get there. So it was my personal journey. And then even, you know, fast forward, you know, how many years later from my late 20s, you know, now into this age now, it's still been that just developing that relationship with him. And even where I was 4 years ago with my relationship looks so different than where I am now. And I know even 6 months from now, it will look different as well. So that's kind of how my journey was.
Yeah, I think the key word that you said is relationship. Mm-hmm. A lot of us may grow up in the church. Myself, I grew up in the church at a young age, and that's more religion. A lot of times, it's more like you go, you do the routines. Like you said, mm-hmm. I'm a dentist, so I go to church on Saturday, and you have the routine of going in the morning for Sabbath school, and then you're ending in the evening at sunset. So you're pretty much there all day. That's a lot of times you're like, that's why I don't go to Adventist church. You guys are in church forever.
All day.
But exactly. So I totally relate to what you just said. But when you're young, you're kind of going as routine or ritual or religion. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like you do go through almost a wilderness season in a way where you realize that you need something more. And it's like the scripture. And of course, I'm probably going to mess up the scripture. I'm never good at quoting the scripture about train a child in the way they should go and they will not depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like when you grow up, at, you know, in the church, you have that foundational, you have that training. So you have the season in the 20s where you're in your college years and whatever, you're doing your thing and being in the world. Mm-hmm. But that foundation has been set for you.
Right. Exactly.
So you know you will come back to it. You know that.
Exactly.
You will come back to that foundation. But you're looking at it from a different perspective as a young adult, as more of a relationship, a personal relationship instead of a ritual or a routine or a religion. So I hear that a lot with people that grew up in the church, that they went through that season of finding God for themselves and developing a personal relationship. So that's awesome. So this podcast is all about faith and business. So I always like to ask, how would you define the power of faith? What would you say a definition for the power of faith?
The first thing that comes to my mind when I think about the power of faith, I think it is and when I say this, walking blindly, but when I say blindly, it's in that direction that God has you going. Mm-hmm. So you don't know, you know, you don't see the end picture. You just know, you know, God has showed you the big picture. So you, mm-hmm. you see that, but then it's like one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And you have to have the faith to walk one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that I have learned is, because, you know, of course, as humans, we're like, why can't I just have everything now? You know, why can't I just pray, you know, in minute one and then minute two, everything has manifested. Like, why? And it's because if that was the case, there would be no purpose and no point in faith.
Yeah.
And so for me, you know, although I don't know the unknown, because I think like a lot of females, we want to have plan A, B, C, and D, you know, just in case. Now, yes. God, but, you know, when you're walking with God in that power of faith and that faith walk, you don't always get to see steps 2, 3, and 4. You just That's have to trust true. Him, take step one. Yeah. And so for me, that has been the power of faith is taking the step. You know, and sometimes I'm not 100% sure, mm-hmm. but in my heart, I'm like, okay, God, I feel like this is where you're leading me to go next. You know, because a lot of times we can hold on to past fears. Like, you know, you may have done something that you felt like God was leading you to, and it didn't work out. And so now you're a little cautious, like, okay, God, I'm not sure.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people, they stop moving because they're so afraid based on that past decision. But for me, I'm like, okay, God, I really feel like I'm doing what you called me to do. If not, I know you're going to get me up back on track. How do I know? Because you've done it before.
Right.
So that, to me, is the power of faith. It's just that blind, you know, just walk and trust in God and knowing that he's going to take care of you because he said it in his word, because he's done it before. So that to me is that power of faith.
Exactly. And I love that, you know, just walking forward step by step, regardless of being able to see. No, so I think it was Martin Luther King that says, take the first step, even if you don't see the whole staircase, you know, so taking that first step, even when you don't see the staircase. Yeah. And you know, also, like you mentioned, you may have fear. You know, there's fear in taking the steps because you don't see the whole staircase. But, you know, despite the fear, you're moving forward. That's what, you know, the power of faith is all about. So I do love that and love that definition of the power of faith. And so how would you define the power of business?
So to me, the power of business is being able to impact lives. That is the power of business. And so when I say lives, you know, your business should impact your life, you know, the legacy after you. So, you know, whether or not it's, you know, your kids, your grandkids, nieces, nephews, you know, whatever. So you're impacting the lives of your family. There are businesses that also impact the community.
Right.
So being able to impact your community. So if you have that business that can make an impact, and to me, you know, any business can have an impact because, hey, I'm a business strategist. So that revenue that you generate, you can use that to impact your community. So many of the women that I attract as a business strategist, they have these huge visions. They're like, Bev, I want to open up this daycare center. Bev, I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that.
Right.
And so they're using their coaching business as a stepping stone into that thing. They're using the revenue that they generate to be able to create that impact in their community. And then also business impacting the globe. So once again, being able to have a global impact with the business that you create. And so, you know, the power of business, that word impact comes to mind. So once again, whether or not it's your family, your community, or having a global impact, you can certainly have that, you know, with that business that you created.
Yeah, I love that. And then the impact starts with you first. You know, I've heard about, you know, because a lot of times when you're in the faith, you know, it's like, well, I don't really want to charge a lot of money, or, you know, it's okay if I don't make a lot of money. You get a lot of that. But, you know, someone told me, you know, you can't be the light of the world if you can't keep the lights on in your house.
Thank you. Something along those lines.
It was like, you can't be the light of the world if you can't keep the light on in your house. And we serve an abundant God. It's not a God. If you look around and, you know, what he's created in nature and everything, God is abundant. You know, he doesn't want his children to be struggling, as we talked about earlier.
Exactly.
So knowing that it starts with you, your business starts with impacting your life first, and the profit that you can make, and the money that you can make, and how you can help your family and help your extended family. And then the ripple effect, I always love to talk about the ripple effect, moves from you, yourself, and your family to your community. You know, people seeing you, you know, prosper and be successful in your business. So the impact that your business creates in the community with the work that you do as well. And then the other ripple effect would be the world. So it's your community and the world. So I love the way you define the power of business in using that analogy with you, your community, and then the world. So that's awesome. Well, this has been a great conversation. Yeah. It's been really great getting to know a little bit more about you, your business, and, you know, faith in business, because that's what this podcast is all about. If someone wants to know a little bit more about you and how you help and how you serve in the world, what would be the best way for them to reach you?
There's a couple of different ways. They can certainly check out my website, so www.beverlywalthour.com. My email is beverly@beverlywalthour.com, and you can find me all over social media at Beverly Wathour. So look, I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible.
Let's make it easy for everyone.
If you want to find me, just Google Beverly Wathour. You will find me on social media, my TV show, my radio show. So you'll find all of that stuff. Just Google me.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us with the Women, Faith, and Business podcast. And thank you for listening, guys. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Women, Faith, Plus Business podcast. I hope this episode has been insightful and inspirational. Wherever you're listening, be sure to go ahead and subscribe to get the next episodes, or go to womenfaithandbusiness.com to join our email list. Plus, if you want to discover two powerful ways to successfully plan your marketing so you can attract your ideal clients and prosper in your God-given purpose, be sure to text POWERFUL to 31996. Thanks for listening.